I'm Lori Bransky, and you're listening to the Draft Prospect Review Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Tuesday, February 27th, right here at Gillette Stadium, and the guys are back from Combine to share some stories with you. Therefore, we have Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, and Paul Perillo.
Another edition of the Patriots Draft Prospect Review. Thanks, Lori. I'm Brian Lowe, joined by Tom Casale and Paul Perillo. Tom, you and I, along with Andy, who's not with us today, we just got back from the Combine yesterday. Quite an interesting 4 days that we spent out there, get a chance to hear from some of these players, not necessarily see the workouts aside from what we catch on NFL Network, but always good just to hear what these players have to say. Just wondering what your general thoughts are on what you heard about, what you saw at the Combine, maybe a couple players who opened your eyes, a couple players who you think took a downward turn. What are your general thoughts?
Well, it's always interesting to go to the Combine because as a fan following the draft, you don't get to go and meet the guys and talk with different people. But the word there was there's about six, maybe seven blue-chip players, which isn't a lot. Usually that number is more between 12 and 15. It seems to me this is a bad year to have those two first-round picks for the Patriots. I wouldn't be surprised if they traded one because the guys I looked at, they could draft between at 24 and 28. I don't see much difference between them and third-round guys. And so in that aspect, I think you could see some wheeling and dealing, maybe move up to take one guy. You know, I know we all fell in love with LeRon Landry, who's probably not a possibility with his draft stock just going through the roof. Outside linebacker, the 3-4 guys, it was interesting. Mike Mayock said there's no DeMarcus Ware, Manny Lawson, Cameron Wimbley this year. He said he doesn't really have a great feeling about any of those guys moving to the 3-4. Now, Jarvis Moss, his draft stock has been on the rise ever since running the 4.640, but everyone there, including Moss himself, said, I feel better as a 4-3 defensive end. So I thought that was interesting. And, you know, it was good to get a feel, but it doesn't seem the superstars don't seem to be, doesn't seem to be a lot of them in this draft.
Right. And you touched on a few things that I was going to say as well. But what's always interesting with these interviews that the players conduct, they're always asked, you know, could you play in this system? Could you play in that system? Have you talked to this team that runs System X? Do you think you could fit into this team that plays System Y? Have you talked to this team in general or that team? And they're sort of probably prepared and coached to say what they're going to say. You know, any of them will say, you know, I haven't really had much exposure in the 3-4, but I'm sure I could fit in. So it's hard to tell in that respect what a player is thinking in terms of how he could fit in and what a team might be thinking because, you know, the Patriots might not necessarily cross off a guy from their list just because he's only played the 4-3. So it's hard to really read into. You can't necessarily just say, ah, oh, this guy's not a fit for the Patriots because he doesn't have experience in the 3-4 or, you know, whatever the case may be. But there were a couple guys who, you know, you just kind of wonder, you know, this, you know, how their draft stock is going. I think Quentin Moses is a guy who a year ago was
a top five
pick in the entire draft. He had a disastrously low number of reps in the bench press.
4.8,
I think
40.
He had an awful 40-yard dash. That was really interesting. And even I know you were talking about his interview with the press. Sort of didn't have a real good explanation for why his play dropped off so much.
I kind of gave him an out. I said, were you getting double teamed a lot last year? To which he responded, no.
No. You would think that when his sack totals drop more than a half, that it's because you're double teamed.
You know what? I applaud a guy for saying no to that question because it doesn't do him any good to say yes and then have 32 teams know full well that wasn't the case. And, I applaud the guy's honesty that, you know, don't blame this on, you know, some extra attention that I was getting. I just didn't play as well. And, you know, I mean, look, what do you have? He went from
11.5 to 4.
To four sack. I mean, that's just an unbelievable drop. You know, the Georgia guys are funny. I find Georgia the school, it's like that wild card school that has an immense amount of talent.
Athletes, right.
But you never know which direction they're going to go. You know, you got guys like Stroud and Seymour that have been outstanding. And there's an endless line of guys that fall, you know.
Jonathan Sullivan
on the same defensive line with those guys. And it's the laziness tag seems to get thrown around Georgia as much as any of those major schools.
Because we'll be getting into specific positions, specific players quite a bit on these podcasts and on PFW in Progress and plenty of shows in the next 2 months, just want to talk a little bit about, you know, the Combine as a whole and sort of this, it's almost like a zoo at the Indiana Convention Center. And, you know, I just want to get your thoughts, Tom, on, you know, the overwhelming atmosphere that it is when you're, you know, on the one hand, you got this media room with all these players coming through, you kind of scurrying around looking through your, mm-hmm. through your notebook and say, oh, RB15, right. Oh, that's so and so. But then in the meantime, you got to kind of keep an eye on what's going on in the lobby because it's almost like you always hear about like the baseball winter meetings, agents coming through, mm-hmm. coaches, GMs. What's your take on how, from our standpoint, how you handle this kind of thing? I think it's kind of interesting the way the process goes with the combine.
Yeah, well, first of all, they shouldn't allow the players to wear backpacks because you can't see their name on the back of their
good
sweatshirt.
Point. Good point.
And then you have to look through and see who running back 32 is.
Right.
But what we like to do is we like to get there, we like to grab a table, get out all our information, you know, have a plan of who's going to have what position. It was kind of hard this year. I didn't think they did a very good job because – like if D-line was one day, too many of them came the next day, and they were big-name guys. Same with receiver Jarrett and Calvin
right.
Johnson didn't
right,
come
yeah.
the days they were supposed
they
to.
They threw some curveballs at us, too. The first day was offensive line and tight ends, and Ted Ginn came through.
Exactly.
You kind of have to stay on your toes.
So you're staying on your toes is a good phrase because yeah. you got to balance the inside with the hall, like you said, because you're always going to get guys there. We saw Mike Martz. We saw Rick Spielman, the vice president for the Vikings personnel. We saw Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones.
A bunch of guys in the hallway.
Should have seen Tom chasing after him.
Did you need to be restrained?
I was 5 feet away from him. I could have killed him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I was close enough if I wanted to. So there's always guys there that are going to give you information that aren't going to come up to the podium.
Right.
So it's, like you said, it's a zoo. And it doesn't help if they have gymnastics and cheerleading conventions at the same time with a bunch of little kids running around screaming and yelling.
This convention center is massive, and you would think that two big events, this cheerleader competition and the combine, that there's certainly plenty of space to hold both events. Did they have to be exactly across the hall from each other? So, I mean, literally, you'd have a team of like 5-year-old cheerleaders trying to do a little practice before their competition while Jerry Jones walks through,
yeah,
while Tom Coughlin walks through, autograph
bringing
seekers.
Brady Quinn in.
It's a comical situation, but kind of neat as well. If you're, and there were fans who come with the express
yep.
purpose of getting autographs, and I'll tell you what, most people will stop and sign. It's kind of an interesting thing. And I had some of the same thoughts as you, where you know, like I said, you have to kind of be on your toes and really keep an eye out because you've got to maximize the time that you're there. And, you know, we talked to a few of the sort of media types, or, you know, we talked to Gil Brandt, Mike Mayock, even Rich Eisen, just getting their thoughts on how this event has grown. Len Pasquarelli was saying back in, you know, the 1980s when they were holding this event, there were 5 or 6 reporters, and, you know, they'd get 15, 20-minute one-on-ones with whatever players they'd want. They just kind of hang out. Now it's, like I was there, there were about a dozen team websites like us.
I've only gone 2 years, but the camera people doubled from last year to this year.
That's what
I
heard as well.
So
yeah.
many camera people there. I mean, we were sitting at a table, and they had cameras all around our table
yeah.
trying to get the
yeah. –
we couldn't even get up out of our chairs.
Tom's view of the NFL Network coverage on TV was skewed a few times because of cameras.
I just don't like when people stand right up next to the TV.
Nor do I. Nor do I.
Jesus.
Well, certainly, you know –
nothing better than media whining about their jobs.
Right.
But one guy that we did hear a lot about as far as maybe a fit for the Patriots is linebacker John Beeson from Miami.
Yeah.
He's a Jonathan Vilma type, but people I talk to feel he can move inside in the 3-4, and he would give the Patriots that athletic, quick, fast, young linebacker, playmaker, good in coverage that they're looking for. So keep that name, you know, on the top of your list, John Beeson, Miami.
He was certainly, I mean, he was one of the stars of the show, and I'll bring up another guy who was a star of the show, Zach DiOssi. I mean, the Patriots connections, you could write a book about the connections that he has.
You could write a 7-page feature story.
You could write, and I think Tom might be, you could write a book on that. But he also, his story real quick, I mean, he's from Brown, his dad, Steve DiOssi, you know, he's a linebacker, he made a big deal about how the fact that he can long snap as well. But he had incredible numbers in some of the workout. I mean, he was one of the top linebacker 40-yard dash times. I think he had a good bench press as well. Really spent quite a bit of time in the media room as well. So he's a guy to look out for. Probably a mid-second day guy going into the combine. Maybe he snuck into third or fourth round.
Yeah, I think he's probably a first day guy now.
Yeah.
That's a guy because, you know, I've never seen Brown play in my life, nor will I ever. So that's a guy I'm going to have to look.
Apparently Bill Belichick has.
Yes, but Andy and I and Paul, we don't go to, well, Paul, I don't think. Yeah, I know you go to Northeastern games, but you don't catch Brown, do you?
I haven't seen
Brown. By the way, Paul,
I have not
were you
seen
at the
Brown.
5 OT game by any chance?
No, it was a women's game.
Yeah, I know. But you go to, you know, lacrosse and volleyball and all
that,
don't you?
It's a women's game, Brian.
Yeah, I understand that.
Enough said.
You wouldn't go. Wouldn't show up, huh?
No.
All right.
It was on the road anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. That's all right. Anyways, we, like I said, we will be getting into quite a bit of draft coverage every single Tuesday on this podcast, and we'll soon start going position by position as we narrow down to April 28th. But that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Patriots Prospect Review. For Tom Casale and Paul Perillo, I'm Ryan Lowe. Let's send it back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. Check back again next week for a new Draft Prospect Review podcast. And keep checking Patriots.com for all our new podcasts in the off-season. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!